We live by the faith of the Son of God.
Faith ensures productivity. That means every time we mix faith with the Word of God, we are productive.
The Word is the gospel.
That means the gospel was designed for your faith. The gospel, the Word of God, is the raw material for faith. The factory for the fabrication of faith is your spirit. The machine, Malakaya. The equipment for fabricating the faith is meditation.
You need to raise the level of your faith so you can raise the level of your productivity.
Ever winning faith, amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Those of you following online, we love you and we appreciate you. Thank you for tuning in to service this morning. We've been teaching a series, and we started last Sunday, and it's on ever winning faith. Hallelujah. Amen. And I'm very sure it's been a blessing to you. If you've been following, if you haven't, there are two ways to follow. Download the messages at library.theembassyofheaven.org. Amen. And also get the book. Okay. If you haven't gotten the book yet, get it. Ever winning faith. It will bless you. And like I instructed, get it for a loved one also. Hallelujah. It's a month of prevailing faith. And our faith is prevailing. Amen. Our faith is prevailing. Say, my faith is prevailing. Hallelujah. Get that what we teach is the word of faith. But your mind and your heart must be postured to receive impartations of the spirit of faith. If you are around last week Sunday, you know what I'm talking about. Mako paratosaya. In fact, that anointing was so palpable and so real. How many of you remember what I'm talking about? Amen. And the power of God came upon us. We're just teaching on faith, and the power of God came upon us. Why? There is a spirit of faith. And that spirit of faith follows when the word of faith is taught. And when the heart of the people are open, it comes upon them. So I want your heart to be open to receive the teaching, to receive the instruction. Like Paul would say, he told the Christians, was it at Philippi or Thessalonica? He told them, when we came to you with the word of the Lord, he said, you didn't receive our words like the words of men. He said, but you received it as the word of God, which of truth is the word of God. I believe that should be even Philemon. Amen. And it says, as you received it, it became effectual. It became productive. Hallelujah. So I am not sharing my opinion. It's a communication of the mind of God. And it's very important you receive it as such. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. All right. So faith in its entirety is not the basic doctrine of Christ. I like to always say that when I teach faith. Because there are people who have wrongly taught that the teaching on faith in its entirety is part of the elementary doctrines of Christ, according to Hebrews chapter 6. And that is not true. That is not true at all. Nothing could be further from the truth. And with that, they demean the teaching of faith. With that, and by saying that, they reduce the value that a believer or a minister should place on the teachings of faith. And by the way, what is being said, or the focus of that faith mentioned in Hebrews chapter 6, when the writer of Hebrews talks about living the elementary principles of the doctrines of Christ, let us move to perfection. He talks about repentance from dead works, the teachings of baptisms, and of faith towards God. The faith there is talking about saving faith. Okay? Saving faith. Faith for salvation. Faith toward God. How to get saved, what to believe to get saved. That's what he's saying. Glory to God. Your entire destiny and the fulfillment of that destiny is strongly connected to the functionality of your faith. Never forget that. That means at different levels and at different seasons, how functional your faith is will affect how much of your vision is fulfilled. How much of the vision of God for your life is fulfilled. Never you play down on the concept of faith. Never you stop paying attention to deliberately building your faith. It's very important. In Habakkuk chapter 2, he says, I will stand upon my watch. I will set me upon the tower. to hear, to see what he will say to me and what I shall answer when I'm reproved. And he says, write the vision, make it that it may run that readeth it. Amen. What follows? Verse 4. For the just shall live by his feet. Verse 3 talks about, do it tarry, wait for it, he shall not tarry, shall come to pass. And verse 4 says, for the just shall live by his faith. That shows you that the concept, two things that, number one, the concept of faith is for, primarily for the fulfillment of vision, to run vision. And number two, it shows you that that vision that he got on the tower is at the mercy of faith. Did you get that? Very important. It's at the mercy of faith. So never play down on it. Are we together? Never play down on it. Destiny and vision is at the mercy of faith. Hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. Glory, 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 glory. All right. Last week, we started talking about the pillars of ever-winning faith. The pillars of ever-winning faith. And we say it's an ever-winning faith is a faith that prevails. The faith that delivers. The faith that produces results. And that is the kind of faith God wants us to have. Hallelujah. He wants our faith to be productive. He wants our faith to be effective. He wants our faith to prevail. And you see, in the New Testament, your faith can grow. You know why I'm attacking this? There are people who teach that the teachings of Jesus about little faith, great faith, does not apply to the Christian. And I say that is a lie. It does apply to the Christian. And that is the claim that every believer is at the same level of faith. The Bible doesn't teach that. There is such a thing as exceedingly growing faith. Paul talked about it in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 verse 10, I believe. He says, for your faith groweth exceedingly. 1 verse 3. For your faith groweth exceedingly. For your faith groweth exceedingly. That is, the Greek word is hupo oxano. How many of you remember oxano? To cause to grow. The Greek word groweth exceedingly is hupo oxano. And it means to grow beyond measure. If your faith can grow, that means we are different levels of faith as far as the functionality of faith is concerned. Have it together. And that means you have a responsibility to the growth of your faith. You have a responsibility to the growth and the development of your faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that is very important. So when we're having teachings like this or teaching series like this, you have to pay attention. You have to know that, look, this is part of equipping for the fulfillment of your destiny. This is part of your equipping to carry out your ministry on the earth. This is part of the equipping that you need to be what God wants you to be. You pay attention. You pay close attention. It doesn't matter how grandiose your vision is. If you have not developed, or if you have not told yourself that, look, I need to build my faith to match this vision, they are not going to come to pass. I assure you. You can be speaking English up and down. If your faith muscles cannot lift that thing, it will be on the ground. And you see visions like an old aircraft in the airport that never flies. Yeah, forbid. Hallelujah. Pay attention to the development of your faith. All right, the first one was the finished works of Christ. Number two, who remembers? Was it three pillars of our never winning faith? Number one, the finished works of Christ. Number two, the fatherhood of God. Number three, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. I mentioned it. Hallelujah. All right, so we said number one is the finished works of Christ. We said that is the first foundation of our faith. Faith is not mental assent. Faith is not mental conditioning. Faith is not believing in the power of the soul. Faith is not if you think you can do it, you can do it. No. Faith is built upon the foundation of the privileges and the powers that the death, the burial and the resurrection of Jesus has made available. Why can a human believe for healing? Because of what Jesus did. Why can you believe for prosperity? Because of what Jesus did. Why can you believe to come out of the trouble or to move to the next level? Because of what Jesus did. Not because of the power of your mind. Not because of the power of your soul. The Bible says we are of the circumcision. And that talks about covenant. He says we are of the circumcision that worship God in spirit. We rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Powerful. We rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Number one, he says we are of the circumcision that worship God in the spirit. Meaning we are a product of the covenant. Meaning our life, the foundation, the basis of our life is the covenant. Remember, in the Old Testament, circumcision was the seal of the covenant. So it says we are of circumcision that worship God in spirit. He's talking about connection to the covenant. Because there is a spiritual circumcision, amen, which is the coming away of the old nature. And then the next thing, he said, we rejoice in Christ Jesus. We rejoice in Christ Jesus. What does that mean? Our answer is Christ. I told you, in every dispensation, God's curriculum is Christ. Even in the Old Testament, the men that brought God on the scene were men who have the revelation of the Christos. From Genesis to Malachi. The spirit of the Christ pre-existed the person of Jesus. God's curriculum never changed. It is a Christos. We rejoice in Christ Jesus. We rejoice in Christ Jesus. Why? To us, Christ is God's only answer. To us, Christ is enough. Solus Christus, Christ is enough. We rejoice in Christ Jesus. And then I love the last part. He says, we have no confidence in the flesh. This is a picture of apostolic faith. We have no confidence in the flesh. Our eyes are not on human abilities. Our eyes are not on human advantages. We will get the degrees, yes. But our focus is not on that. We will get the nice jobs, yes. But that is not the basis for our doing well. We have no confidence in the flesh. Hallelujah. We pray and fast, yes. But it's not to gain God's approval. We're already approved by God. Our prayer and fasting and confessions of faith is to lay hold on what He has made available. You can see it now. We rejoice in Christ and have no confidence in the flesh. That is the foundation. We stand by our sacrifice. Amen. Yes. Hallelujah. Every day, everywhere, we see Christ evidently crucified. We see Him buried. We see Him raised. We see Him ascended. We see Him seated at the right hand of majesty on high. Ever liveth to make intercession for us. This is the foundation for our faith. Hallelujah. This is the foundation for our faith. Is somebody still here? Number two, the fatherhood of God. The fatherhood of God. The fatherhood of God. Listen, the revelation of God that you have will determine your experience of God. Write that down. The revelation of God that you have will determine your experience. It will determine the experience of God that you have. Never forget that. If you see God as a wicked taskmaster, that will be your experience. In fact, it will affect your relationship with Him. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob have the revelation of El Shaddai. And guess what? That was what they experienced. Oh dear. El Shaddai means the all-breasted one. Okay. When you study the lives of the patriarch, it was obvious that that revelation of El Shaddai played out in their lives. Journey down to Moses. In fact, in Exodus chapter 6, if you read 1 to 3, the Lord appeared unto Moses and introduced himself to Moses as Jehovah. Meaning, he said, Moses, there's a dimension of me that your fathers did not know. In that conversation, the Lord told him, he said, Abraham and your fathers knew me as El Shaddai. But by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. But I'm introducing myself to you as Jehovah. Can you imagine that? Now you look at the ministry of Moses. He experienced Jehovah. He went in that might and delivered the children of Israel from captivity. Is somebody with me? The revelation of God that you have will affect your experience of Him. And then Jesus came and brought us a fresh and, to me, the highest revelation of God. Highest. You know why? The Bible calls Jesus the express image of God's person. If Jesus is the express image of God's person, it means the revelation of God that He brings will be the highest revelation. He introduced God as Abba. He introduced God as Father. Some of us did that. He introduced God as Father. To them, He was their God. To Him, He was Father. But He didn't stop there. Oh, before the first ascension in the garden, when He met Mary Magdalene, Mary wanted to run and hug Him. He said, no, don't touch me yet, for I have not yet ascended to my Father and your Father. And guess what? That brought us in. Are you here? He's saying that through this sacrifice, He was going to the heavenly holy of holies to present His blood as the seal of man's eternal redemption. And when the high priest is going to the holy of holies, you don't touch him. Amen. He says, you can't touch me yet, for I've not yet ascended to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. He said, go and tell my brethren. Oh, hallelujah. The status has changed. He said, go and tell my brethren who've been brought in. He said, go and tell my brethren. Oh, somebody didn't get that. He said, go and tell my brethren. He brought God close. You see, the revelation of Father brings God close. Who is Father? Father means source. Father means sustainer. Father means provider and protector, who loves unconditionally, who loves in an unchanging manner. A father doesn't vacillate in his love. That was the revelation that Jesus brought of God. He's the Father. And listen, this strengthens your faith. Even in prayer. You remember when Jesus was teaching about prayer, the first thing He said was, He says, when you pray, say, our Father. That means the foundation for effective prayer is the revelation of the Fatherhood of God. When you go to pray and you think you are praying to God, you will have problems. Your answers may not be fast enough. You will not be effective in your prayer life. But when you go to prayer with the understanding of the Fatherhood of God, according to the teachings of Jesus, He says, when you pray, say, our Father, our Father, our Father. That means prayer is an invitation to fellowship the Father. Prayer is an invitation to have fellowship with the Father. It's not an invitation to talk to God. It's an invitation to fellowship with the Father. The Fatherhood of God. I did a whole series about 4 years ago on the Fatherhood of God. How many of you remember that? Amen. These are the pillars of a faith that wins. In the public space, your voice is as loud as the influence of your Father. Oh. Listen, the public spaces of life. You went to school in Nigeria now. When you see rich kids, if you went to the kind of school I went to, when you see rich kids, you know. When you enter the university, everybody lived the greatness of his father. There were those who started using brand new cars from 100 level. Brand new cars. Did they buy with their monies? No. Who is our father? When you understand that he's father and you understand how mighty he is, your faith will move to another level. And that is what I'm showing you this morning. That God is not just God. He's your father. In your journey of faith, in prayer, in your day-to-day work, have the consciousness that you have a father. Jehovah is your father. You know what Jesus says? He said, my father is greater than all. My father is greater than all. My father is greater than all. That was his revelation. Jesus said, my father is greater than all. When the revelation of the fatherhood of God dawns on your spirit, your faith moves to another level. There's a confidence with which you pray. There's a confidence with which you take steps of faith. Why? You have come into the knowledge of the fatherhood of God. To you, is not just God anymore. He's Abba. Hallelujah. He's Abba. He's Abba. You can stand and speak. Just like the revelation of the covenant gives you confidence, the revelation of the fatherhood of God should give you confidence. Have it together. And train your mind that way. Meditate on this truth. Second part of the fatherhood of God is the fact that if God is our father, then we have his DNA. A goat can only give birth to a goat. A dog can only give birth to a dog. A lion can only give birth to a lion. If we are born of God, if we are of God, you know, John says, we are of God, little children. You came out of God. The Greek word is ek. It means to come out of. He says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Why? Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. What does it mean, greater is he that is in you? His DNA is in you. His life is in you. If he's our father, he says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, which is the word of God that lives and abides forever. If he's truly a father, and he really is, that means whatever cannot dominate him cannot dominate us. Did you get that? Whatever cannot dominate God cannot dominate us. Amen. You will face life's challenges. You will look at the mountains of life and say, I am born of God. Oh, glory! I am born of God and I have overcome you. Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. What did Paul say? First Timothy chapter 6 verse 12. He says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Lay hold on eternal life. The Greek word is epilambanomai. It means to seize for safety. It also means to seize for accomplishment. It means to take hold of something that is yours and make progress. What is that? It says eternal life. That means a tool for the fight of faith is laying hold on eternal life. And what does that mean? It means you're born of God. You're born of God. Say to yourself 1,000 times, oh, I am born of God. I am born of God. There are no mountains I can't crush. I am born of God. Hey-ya! There are no mountains I can't crush. I'm born of God. There are no seas I can't part and cross over. I'm born of God. I'm born of God. Hallelujah. I am born of God. I have his genes. I have his DNA. I have his chromosomes. I am born of God. Jehovah is not just God to me. It's my father. So when you go to pray, Father, in the name of Jesus. This is why you see the power of God here. We see him as our father. We see him as our father. So you are not approaching him anymore on account of your righteousness. You are approaching him because you know his arms are always open. Let me read one scripture for us and then we'll move to the next point. Oh, hallelujah. See, I'm blessed. Matthew 7:11. Very quickly. Matthew chapter 7 verse 11. Matthew chapter 7 verse 11. Matthew 7:11. Hallelujah. This is Jesus talking. Again, he's talking or he's revealing to us God as a Father. That's what he's doing. This is part of his teaching about the fatherhood of God. Look at this. He says, if you then, give me the verse before this. Give me the verse before this. Oh. But let me see. Go to verse 7. Go to verse 7. And have verse 7, verse 6. Okay. Look at this. He said, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Verse 8. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. Imagine staying and meditating on that. Everyone that asketh, receiveth. If I ask, I must receive. If I ask, he didn't say everyone that ask. Some may receive, some may not receive. No. Everyone that asketh, receiveth. Actually, there was a season in my life where I meditated on this verse. Especially that first part. Everyone that asketh, receiveth. That means if you have asked and you don't have it, the problem is receiving. You have to learn how to receive. Am I teaching this morning? If you have asked and it says, "Pow!" it's not in your hands. The problem is receiving. Because Jesus says, everyone that asketh, receiveth. And this is where, you see, when this is why we continue in prayer sometimes. It's not because we are in doubt. We are positioning our hearts to lay hold on that which he has made available. Everyone that asketh, receiveth. Hi. So if somebody asks you, where is your manifestation now? I'm working on my receiving. Glory to God. I thought you prayed before. Why are you still praying and fasting? I'm working on my receiving. Why are you still meditating on that, on the word? I'm working on my receiving. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. When you ask God for something, sometimes you say yes, sometimes you say no, sometimes you say wait. It's not in the Bible. That is the theology of men. That is the theology of men. So say, Pastor, what if I'm asking and it's not his will? Then you are still a baby. Because the more you grow, the more your heart is synchronized with his will. There's a synchrony. Prayer is primarily of the heart. You see, the Bible teaches that faith works with co-perception. And I hope to get into that dimension, into that side as I teach faith. That means faith works with a good conscience. Faith, listen, faith is not really in isolation. Amen. Your operation of faith is not in isolation. When you study 2 Peter, you see there, he talks about adding to your faith virtue, to virtue patience, to patience godliness, and all that down to love. Amen. And it's not exclusive to 2 Peter. When you study here and there, like the one I just quoted in 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 18, he talks about faith and a good conscience. Faith and co-perception with the Spirit. And number two, the Bible teaching about prayer does not suggest in any way that when you are faced with challenge, the first thing to do is to turn to pray. He said, take with you words and turn to the Lord. That means that the time you are praying, you already have words. Are you getting the dynamics now? That means you are not just rushing to go pray. No. He says, take with you words and turn to the Lord. So you are not rushing to pray. You are going to the Word. And then when you take word, you go to the Lord in prayer. And when you go to the Lord in prayer, God does not say no. God does not say wait. You can only be working on your receiving. Are we clear? Go back there. So when I insist that you pay attention to the ministry of the word and the ministry of the spirit, this is what it's about. One thing is needful. He says, Mary has taken a part. One thing is needful. You should be able to call yourself to order when you are running up and down and not paying attention to the one thing that is needful. Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For you shall, and you shall find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He shows you how to find rest for your soul. Learning of him. Staying at his feet. Next, verse 8. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and he that knocketh, he shall be opened. You can use this to teach the three levels of prayer. Amen. There's asking, there's seeking, there's knocking. Laki patosa. And at the three levels, you were promised a response. Next verse. He said, what man is there of you whom if his son ask bread, will give him a stone? So he's talking about the father now, comparing God to earthly fathers. Or if he ask him fish, will give him a serpent. Verse 11. If ye then being evil, the word there is being natural. If you then being natural, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Go and meditate on this verse. He said, if you be natural, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more? How much more? How much more shall your which is in heaven. Shall your Father, which is in heaven. He introduces God as a loving Father. This is a picture of God you must have. Amen. He said, he will give you good things. Good things. Good things. Somebody say, if God is leading you, or God wants to give you something, he can just give you what you don't like, just to discipline you. Just to prove your loyalty to him. Those are doctrines of men. Somebody say, Kai, I didn't like this lady. It was God that said I should marry her. It was the will of God. And I have no choice. You are wicked. And the same way, a lady says, I did not like him. It was God that said I should marry him. Up to now, I don't even like him. Doctrines of men. The Bible says it is God that works in you. Both to will and to do. That means he begins to, if he wants you to do something, he doesn't force you. He starts working in you so that you become willing. Do you understand? He be sending you to a city. The city may be war-torn, but suddenly you will fall in love with the city. Your heart will begin to desire to stay there. It is God who works in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. That's how God works. He works in you, and then he works out his good pleasure. Are we together? All those religious attempts to make Christianity look boring, look sad, look hard, look impossible, look funny, look spooky, many words. When you study your Bible, those things are not there. Somebody say Christianity is hard. We have to be very careful. You can backslide at any time. They didn't read your Bibles very well. Number one, the Bible says God's commandments are not grievous. Number two, Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You can't tear it out of the Bible. He said it. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Hebrews says it. It's, we are not of them that draw back to perdition. More of them that believe God to the saving of the soul. That means backsliding is not in the equation. He's there. He says, we are not of them that draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. So you read, you know why many people are being deceived on social media? They don't read their Bibles. They are reading their head into the Bible. How many people sit down every day? 5 chapters. Amen. Hours. Or in a week. Or you sit down, let me know God's word for myself. God will visit you when you do that. I didn't plan to be a preacher. That was how my journey started. Hallelujah. I don't want to go into certain things. I'm just, let me not go there. Glory to God. His burden is easy. His burden is light. His yoke is easy. The fatherhood of God. See God as your father. Number three, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. The fellowship of the Holy Spirit. I'll just give you a very quick one there. The fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Now, somebody say, if Jesus, through his death, burial, and resurrection, has done everything for us, and if he's currently sitting at the right hand of majesty on high, making intercession for us, why do we need the Holy Spirit? And that is a valid question. Why do we need the Holy Spirit? Why is the ministry of the Spirit important? Listen. The Holy Spirit is the administrator of God's kingdom. That means everything that Jesus paid for, it is the Spirit that administers it. Number one. Number two, the Holy Spirit is the one who enlightens your eyes and your heart to see what God has made available through the sacrifice of Jesus. Without the ministry of the Spirit, you can never have the revelation of what is yours, of your right, your privileges, and even your responsibility in the kingdom. You can't. Why? He's the author of the world. He's the teacher of the world. He's the administrator of God's kingdom. So everything that is available, it is through the ministry of the Spirit that we receive. Are you here? It is through the ministry of the Spirit. That means the Holy Spirit makes vital, he makes real what Jesus paid for. So faith is impossible without fellowship with the Holy Spirit. It's impossible. It should just be a low level. Great faith, ever-winning faith, there must be fellowship with the Holy Spirit. In fact, part of the ministry of the Spirit is to reveal the Father, is to reveal Christ, and Christ is the express image of the Father. Are you seeing it now? Part of the ministry of the Holy Spirit is to reveal to us the works of Jesus. What we call the finished works of Jesus. Without the Holy Spirit, you can't know it in your heart. It can be a head knowledge. But for it to be a heart knowledge, the Spirit of God has to be involved. Fellowship with the Holy Spirit. A dear man of God, precious man of God, once said that fellowship is the mother of faith. Truly, fellowship is the mother of faith. And it's logical. You know what that means? It means to be a person of great faith, you must be a person of deep fellowship. Deep fellowship. Fellowship in prayer. Fellowship in the word. Fellowship in worship. What does fellowship mean? Fellowship means communion. It means intimacy. It means communication. It means partnership. That's what fellowship means. So prayer ceases to be, let's say our prayer. Have you heard people say these things? Let's say our prayer. or what they call the Lord's Prayer. They say, let's say the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. That's not the Lord's Prayer. Wake up. That is not the Lord's Prayer. The Bible did not say this is how Jesus prays. And then he wasn't recorded while he was praying. They asked him, they said, teach us to pray. Then he gave them the pattern and the structure for an effective prayer life. How does that become the Lord's Prayer? He gave them the pattern and the principle. In fact, some of the things he said were dispensation specific. Because when you look at it through the lens of Christ and through the lens of grace, you will know. He says, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. This first line, what does it say? Prayer is based on the foundation of the fatherhood of God. Thy kingdom come, that we be done on the earth. Prayer is based on passion for the establishment of his kingdom on the earth, as it is in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Prayer is based on worship and reverence for God. Amen. Give us this day our daily bread. From that place, we start question marking. Give us this day our daily bread. At that level, you now determine your level. Are you a believer who waits for daily bread? Or are you a believer who has grown in the things of the Spirit to see God as your supply? Give us this day our daily bread. Daily bread. You now become need-oriented. Are we together? Let me stop there so that I can finish my teaching. Fellowship of the Holy Spirit. So every time you hang out with the Spirit, faith is imparted in your heart. Because the Spirit of God brings us the voice of God. The Spirit of God lightens our hearts with the Word of God. Fellowship, fellowship. Your prayer time is faith building time. Glory to God. Fellowship. Your worship time is faith building time. Fellowship. Your time in the world is faith building time. Fellowship. You practice what I call conversational meditation. Conversational meditation. You are talking to the Holy Spirit and expecting Him to talk back to you. So prayer is no longer a one-way thing. You speak. And by the way, there's an important side of prayer you must know. And that is hearing from God. And hearing from God doesn't necessarily mean God telling you something or God just speaking to you concerning something big. No. This is why I call it conversational meditation. It could be Him explaining something that looks so simple in the Bible to you. You could be receiving words of comfort from Him. It could be an instruction about how to treat your spouse. It could be an instruction about your son. It could just be Him talking to you about your business. And just saying, can you do something like this? Try this out. Or do this. But every time you pray, expect Him to talk to you. Every time you read your Bible, expect Him to talk to you. Ask Him questions. Mike Murdock says, question is the key to answers. Ask Him questions. Lord, in this city, why is the church like this? In this city, why is this industry like this? Why is this business like this? You will soon receive answers. We call that conversational meditation. Hallelujah. Say, I'm blessed. Are you learning something? Oh, praise God. Speak in tongues. Mako preko seta ke preka pasushito. Shala dek ronda sushita proka. Hento prekosa. Just sit up and speak in tongues. Honta kibra, zoshti, levrundas, lepratos kalida, homstalida, ambrosas de proda, Come with your feet. Spirit of the sovereign Lord, come and make your presence known. You reveal the glory of the living God. Oh, Spirit of the sovereign Lord, come and make your presence known. You reveal the glory of the living God. Let the world have your glory. In the next 3 minutes, I want you to pray in other tongues. And your prayer is simple. Lord, a new level of fellowship with you. A new level of fellowship with you. In the name of Jesus. A new level of fellowship with you. In the name of Jesus. A fresh level. A fresh revelation of you as my Father. A fresh revelation of you as my Father. Go ahead and pray. A fresh revelation of your love in the name of Jesus. Fresh! Sixty more seconds. Thank you, Jesus. Lagabarado sabalada. Horrebedaledeba. Lift your hands. Horrebedaledebosa. Kondaledadadadadadabosa. Lord, a new revelation of Jesus. A new revelation of the fatherhood of God. A new depth of fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Oh. We receive. We receive. We receive. In the name of Jesus. The Lord is touching us already. Just concentrate. Just focus on Him. Just focus on Him. Just focus on Him. Say, Lord, I receive a fresh revelation of Jesus. I receive a fresh revelation of the fatherhood of God. Receive a fresh revelation. O Rebbe Kaposa. O Rebbe Kaposa. O Taledebra Kaposa. O Rebbe Kaposa Shata. O Taledebra Kaposa Shata. Fresh. Fresh. A new depth of fellowship. A new depth. Some of you, you see yourself, you can't stop praying. You can't stop fasting. After this service, Jesus! Jesus! In the name of Jesus. It will be like an initiation into a new walk with the Spirit. Some of you, your desire for other things will be ruined. Completely. 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 In the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. Thank you for new visions. Thank you for new dreams. Thank you for new impartations of hunger for your glory. Father, we love you. We give you praise in the name of the Lord Jesus. All over this place, just bow your heads and just close your eyes. Amen. Just everybody on your feet. You are here this morning and you have not given your... Just bow your heads, everyone. Be on your feet and bow your heads. You are here this morning and you've not given your heart to the Lord Jesus. Jesus is not yet the Lord of your life. I want to pray for you. Wherever you are, I want you to lift your hand. You are saying, Pastor, pray for me. I want to surrender to the Lord. I want to rededicate my life to the Lord. Just raise your hand right where you are, and I will pray for you. And I'll pray for you. Just raise your hand right where you are. Lige Pora Sapa online. There are people there to chat you up. Just drop a message directly into our inbox. You are saying, Pastor, pray for me. I want my sins forgiven in this first service. If you are in the hall, just raise your hand in this first service. Just raise your hand. Just raise your hand. La Sipa Ruke Patosa. Jele de prekepo, lasike prokepeto sele de keprekepotasa, em jele de keprekepo, zoli de keprekeposa. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I don't know. Maybe you can. Any hand? Thank you, Lord. Any hand? Oh, thank you, Lord. Can we pray the prayers with them? God bless you. God bless you. Can we pray the prayers with them? You're online. You are making a decision. Just pray these prayers with us. Okay, how to get saved, how to get restored to the Father is by believing in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus and by confessing Him as your Lord and Savior. Can we just do that together? We're going to join you to do it, but I want you to do it believing, meaning every word you speak. Say, dear God, I believe that you love me. I come to you today. I come to you today believing that Jesus died, He was buried, He was raised for my salvation. Today, I declare that that same Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. And I receive eternal life into my spirit. Thank you, Father, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Can we rejoice? Congratulations. If you pray that prayer.
We believe the word of God has begun a good work in you, making you a living, working wonder on the earth. For additional messages and information, log on to www.theembassyofheaven.org. God bless you.